On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning and happy Monday. We're here to help make it great. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It's 8:07, your time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Your top story, Pope Francis has passed away at the age of 88 after making a rare appearance, being sick and double pneumonia and other health-related issues, really made a rare appearance and then passed away 7:35 this morning, Rome time. So, yep, you will be hearing definitely more about that in the coming days, at least, maybe weeks as well. All right, I've got your tickets. Got your tickets for Rock the Country. What you need to do is text Hank, H-A-N-K, to 20357. You'll be in the running for a pair of two-day tickets to Rock the Country, Kid Rock, Hank Williams Jr., Nickelback, Tracy Lawrence, and more. This is going to be Ocala, May 9th and 10th. I think it is going to be a spectacular event, and it would be nice if you won some tickets. So go ahead and give it a shot. Right now, text HANK to 20357 for your two-day tickets. Data and message rates may apply. Please don't text and drive. President Trump, of course, sending out a very nice, happy Easter message to all. But then included... Did he want to be inclusive? You decide.
I guess he probably should be. I mean, that's what the world wants him to be and everything. Right?
Yeah. So Trump took to Truth Social and wished all a happy Easter.
Nice.
Before trolling Democrats. Oh. Happy Easter to all, including the radical left lunatics who are fighting and scheming so hard to bring murderers, drug lords, dangerous prisoners, the mentally insane and well-known MS-13 gang members and wife beaters back into our country, he wrote. His last two references to MS-13 gang members and wife beaters seems to be indirectly, really indirectly, hinting at Abrego Garcia, who allegedly assaulted his wife and, according to the Department of Homeland Security, suspected being MS-13. You know, then there was Senator Van Hoser and other Democrats who believed that Garcia was wrongly deported to El Salvador in March. They pushed for his release. The Trump administration has fought an order to facilitate his return to the U.S. However, the Salvadoran president said that he had no intention of returning Abrego Garcia to the United States, even after Senator Van Hoser visited him in El Salvador. And Trump also blasted judges in his post, Happy Easter. Also to the weak and ineffective judges and law enforcement officials who are allowing this sinister attack on our nation to continue, an attack so violent it'll never be forgotten. And then he heaped criticism on former President Joe Biden, contending he purposefully allowed an influx of illegal immigration into the United States. Contending it? Who wants to contend otherwise? Who would like to argue that point? What do you mean? Of course he did it on purpose. He used an executive order, an executive privilege, to undo all the things that President Trump had put in place to secure the border. Is that contending that Biden did it on purpose? What do you think? Well, in Biden's case, yeah, maybe he did accidentally sign it. But no. This was no accident. All of a sudden, people didn't run toward the border. They were invited by NGOs around the world and given taxpayer-funded tickets to actually fly in or fly into Mexico City and then come in. Yeah. Biden. Yes, he did it absolutely on purpose. Here's what President Trump said. Sleepy Joe Biden purposefully allowed millions of criminals to enter our country, totally unvetted and unchecked, through an open borders policy that will go down in history as the single most calamitous effect ever perpetrated upon America. He was by far our worst and most incompetent president, a man who had absolutely no idea what he was doing. Oh, but yeah.
Other than that,
happy Easter, everybody.
That's funny.
And in this case, you know, there's no hyperbole.
No.
There's no need for it.
Those are legit categories.
Absolutely. Yeah. Telling, you know, God's own honest truth.
Uh-huh.
Biden opened the borders at his first day in office with an executive order repealing all the Biden executive orders. And it was already put into place what they were planning on doing, funding these NGOs, giving so many billions of dollars like U.S. aid, knowing that they could use that money and funnel it off and siphon it off to push illegals into the country.
Right.
They want chaos. They wanted the ability to cheat on elections. And that's really the major reasons why they wanted that. And they didn't care about the side effects. You know, anytime you look at something, you go, well, we got to win. We got to get power back. We got to win. That's all we're about. It's like, well, the only way to do that is bring in some new voters, because a lot of the other voters, they kind of caught on. You know, like the black voters are like, you haven't done jack schmack for us forever. A lot of promises, never delivered.
Especially around election season.
Yeah. So they had to bring in, or got to import new Democrat voters. And, the side effect of fentanyl, I mean, really?
Let's talk about gun control instead or something.
Let's talk about whatever something else that's enshrined in our Constitution, like any other right or freedom in a free country, can be abused to the detriment of other human beings. It's awful. But to turn a blind eye knowing that fentanyl, that the trafficking of fentanyl is going to increase exponentially with open borders, to turn a blind eye to people who get held in, you know, the human trafficking, sex trafficking, and all of that. And yet he did it on purpose through executive order. Joe Biden and whoever was, you know, running a little puppet show that day. Davis Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines. And Jeff, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. I think everybody needs to be reminded that this all started when Hillary was first supposed to be elected and Trump won. She was supposed to command all these rich people paying for these people to come in, but Trump upset the cart, so they got put back 4 years, and then all this was already laid out when Biden got in. It was already in the cake. They knew what to do already. They had four more years while Trump was elected to make it even worse. This all started when Hillary was first supposed to be elected. I work in construction. I saw the illegals taking over the people that paint in Orlando, in Tampa. You saw it happening, and it's been that long, and that's how bad it is. And God bless Trump, and God bless America.
God bless you, Jeff. Good to hear from you.
And thanks for mentioning cake.
He also mentioned Orlando.
That's true.
But he didn't say anything about Tony, but I will. On this day, April 21st, 1973, Tony Orlando and Dawn's Tie a Yellow Ribbon Around the Old Oak Tree was number one on the U.S. charts.
Wow.
And that's long been a symbol and support for absent or missing loved ones. And this song was huge.
Oh,
remember that one?
Absolutely.
Yep. All right. It is 8:15. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and we've got a lot more to talk about, so stick around. We're making Mondays great on 97.3 The Sky.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B-plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B-minus or a C-plus life, because when you're living a B or B-plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A-plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, when you're the president, you got to make plans early, ahead of time. That's a busy schedule.
Oh, I can't imagine. Yeah.
It's 8:19 right now on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers. where the answer is always yes. So, already set up a little visit, a little royal visit.
Yes.
Yes, President Donald Trump said he feels great respect for the royal family as he named September for the historic second state visit to the UK. King Charles III is to host President Donald Trump, and the president mentioned this in remarks to the White House recently. A state visit is the most formal expression of honor that Britain bestows on foreign leaders, and it's being hosted by the monarch rather than by politicians, as this is a visit to be historic, as no other foreign leader in modern history has been given two state visits. Count them, two.
Okay.
Just President Trump. Reasons for the double honor include President Trump having two non-consecutive terms, or Queen Elizabeth II, who hosted President Trump in 2019, having since passed, and there being a new monarch, Charles III, to host. While both are certainly part of the decision at its heart, there is also a need for the United Kingdom to maintain its close relationship with the U.S. Royal honor, given President Trump's undeniable affection for the royal family, is a logical approach. Speaking from the Oval Office, President Trump reflected on the invitation that had been extended by letter in February, personally delivered by the British Prime Minister, and said, "Well, I was invited by the King and by the country, great country. We're going to do a second fest." That's what it is. It's a fest.
Sounds beautiful.
Speaking of the King, with whom President Trump has met with several times and understood to frequently correspond with by letter, continued, "It's an honor to be a friend of Charles. I have great respect for King Charles and his family, Prince William. It's really a great respect for the family, and it's really a great honor. I think that we are setting that date for September." British newspaper The Daily Telegraph states the original options presented to President Trump were a visit to the royal family's properties in Scotland rather than Balmoral Castle or Dumfries House. So, yeah, you're going to work it out. President's going to go for a little visit in September.
Maybe some fish and chips.
I predict.
It's probably a you know, McDonald's fish sandwich, but, you know, close enough.
What?
Well, you know, he likes him, you know, some McDonald's.
I was thinking, like, at least it'd be like Arthur Treacher's.
Oh, well, yes.
Are those still around?
I haven't seen them.
There's got to be a couple somewhere.
I don't know. Some remnant of the company left, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a flashback.
That's some of my earliest memories.
Arthur Treacher's.
Of the fish and chips.
Yeah.
Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds signed legislation Friday that changes state law to allow 18-year-olds to own and carry handguns.
What? That's just crazy talk. Who'd think anybody that age can be responsible?
A Second Amendment, like applying to an 18-year-old, next thing you know, you're going to be signing them up for military service, for crying out loud.
They do that. Mm. Yeah. Okay.
Des Moines Register reported that State Representative Stephen Holt, a Republican, rallied fellow lawmakers in support of the bill. Holt said, "Look, I joined the Marines when I was 18. I graduated from boot camp when I was 18. I was carrying firearms in the military, ready to defend my country when I was 18, along with hundreds of thousands of other young men and women." He said, so the idea that an 18, 19, or 20-year-old doesn't have a right to own a firearm in protection of their families, which is really what the Second Amendment is about, right? State Senator Art Staid, a Democrat, opposed the legislation when it was in the Senate, arguing lowering the age to purchase handguns won't save any lives. How do you know that?
You don't know that. And again, it goes back to, it's not a matter of if it's going to save a life, because we can tell you a lot of things you should do as a politician that could definitely save lives, like, you know, the border, fentanyl, abortion. But how about it's just that, like you said, their constitutional right?
Yeah.
So, you know.
Or the fact that it actually could be used to save someone's life.
It could well be.
Bad guys are attacking.
Yep.
They're climbing into grandma's window.
Uh-huh.
There you are, 18. You got your handgun. You say stop.
Problem solved.
He claimed that 18-year-olds carry for self-defense will cost lives, and let's keep this common sense safeguard in Iowa in place. Let's keep the age at 21.
Them and their common sense gun control.
Yep, but the Iowa governor signs the bill.
Good. Good for them.
Yeah. It's like the free state of Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I wonder if we could learn anything from that.
Huh. You mean like moving forward as opposed to going backward with the rules and regulations and laws that we put in effect in our state?
Well, it would probably take, you know, real Republicans in leadership positions in the House and Senate in Tallahassee to, you know, to push forward such important legislation.
Oh, so not the ones who would say we have to do something.
No, those are not the ones. No.
Okay. All right.
You mean the ones that took rights away from people based on a person who was not in complete control of their faculties that had been brought to the attention of teachers, guidance counselors, law enforcement on multiple times?
And so because of that one person, all these legal American citizens have to have their rights taken away? That just doesn't seem real logical to me.
No.
Huh.
Well,
in the free state of Florida.
You know, I've seen people abuse, you know, automobiles. I mean, look, we're going to have to probably let's take them away from everybody. You know, whether you had a ticket or not, you know.
Well, it's kind of like going to your house and going, hey, excuse me, Sarah, do you have alcohol in the house? Well, yeah. Well, I'm sorry, we're going to have to take your driver's license away. Well, I'm not driving. Yeah, but you could.
You could.
Because see, there's a car in the driveway, and you just said you've got alcohol in the house, so we have to do something.
There is,
logic.
There's something missing, and that's what it is. What'd you call it again?
Logic.
The one.
Very few letters and only two syllables. I really think a lot of politicians could catch on to that. They could, they wanted to.
Senator Mike Lee from Utah, the conservative Republican, offered an optimistic take on the Trump administration's challenge to the country's existing birthright citizenship policy currently being considered by the Supreme Court. And he said, this is a fascinating case. It's a close case. It can be won. No one knows the outcome for sure. But one thing that's important for everyone to keep in mind, this case is not about whether birthright citizenship exists, nor does it undermine the 14th Amendment's birthright citizenship promise. This is rather about what the contours of birthright citizenship look like, whether or not you can be someone who's born in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof. He said it's the second phrase in the 14th Amendment and the subject to the jurisdiction thereof that we're looking at here. What President Trump has done is issued an executive order directing agencies prospectively not to recognize the birthright citizenship of people born after the moment of this order's issuance, saying that they won't be recognized as birthright citizens unless, at the time of their birth, they have at least one parent who is either a citizen or a lawful permanent resident. And so this is a closed question. It's a debatable case, and I think it could go either way. I look forward to hearing the arguments and hope that the Supreme Court will sustain what President Trump's trying to do to clean up this invasion that President Biden invited into our country. So, we shall see. Hopefully, sooner rather than later, but Supreme Court's been pretty busy lately. It is 8:28 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And we've still got a lot to talk about, including this past Easter weekend. We'll get into to that and some upbeat stuff as well. So you just hang in there, all right? You're listening to 97.3 The Sky.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
from the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night. Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama. Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
That is the music, and that's how you know. Yeah, you got your radio on, and you're listening to 97.3 The Sky. And, of course, it is the Bob Rose Show with Greg Cassidy. That's me. Bob, actually doing some research right now with riveting information coming your way next in this next segment of the Bob Rose Show.
Are we on the air,
you're
ladies and gentlemen?
Well, yes, you are.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah, I was doing...
important
deep,
things.
Deep research.
Important things.
Yeah.
Bob does important things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you for saving me.
I do what I can. I'm here for you.
Can't hear you screaming my name when the exhaust fan is on. And we'll leave it right there. Oh. President Donald Trump's deputy should stop talking about the apparent criminal record of the deported Salvadoran illegal migrant. So says our buddy Senator Chris Van Hoser. Don't put everything out on social media about deported migrant Kilmer Albrega Garcia. That's what Van Hoser told ABC's This Week. Hmm. The issue should be decided by judges. Well,
So the truth, so we hide the truth?
Yes. Because, because the truth, it muddies it up.
Oh,
it's like,
okay.
So he smacked his old lady around a couple of times. Look. You know, she's come around to say that, you know, that they've worked it all out. You know, it's all good.
Yeah, it's okay now.
So he got busted in Tennessee. That's just coming out. That was pulled over like 8 people in a car. And they believe that could have been some kind of smuggling or whatever operation. He gets another like slap on the hand and gets let go. Then another time he's arrested and he's got a bunch of money and drugs on him. But once again, he's given a pass.
Bob, he's just a man from Maryland. That's what they keep saying.
Yeah. Again, Van Hoser, he has to change his tune. Now it's, I'm not defending the man.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm defending due process.
Couldn't you do that and stay in the States and not spend taxpayer money on flying to a foreign country?
Well, first of all, the idea is if you enjoy due process and you think that's an important thing, there's a due process that you have to go through to come into the country legally. You see what I'm saying there?
I don't think he's a big fan of that one.
Well, you can't have it both ways. No due process coming in, no due process going out.
Mm.
That's, you know, and yeah, that's a little simplistic, but the bottom line is, you know, it's the president's job to do what he can from a federal perspective to keep Americans safe. And it's not safe under what's happened over the last 4 years with Joe Biden. And the American people, by and large, agree. They don't want violent gang members in their country, especially if they're here illegally and they're really supposed to be in another country. So, you know, Van Hoser backed the wrong horse on this. This is definitely not the poster child that he wanted.
So now he's got to, like, shuffle his position a little bit, it sounds like.
Well, he's got to shuffle it a lot.
Yeah.
Because it's a losing proposition. And make no mistake about it. The purpose of Van Hoser doing this is because he's going to run for president. That's what's behind this. And he thinks that there is, like, grassroots support for this. Yeah, I guess grassroots, but it would just be like...
The kind you're smoking.
And that it would just be a patch.
Right.
In other words, grassroots, it'd be like one chunk of sod. Those are, of course, the ones that make the most noise, you know.
Right.
That's the folks that follow AOC and like, you know, Bernie. Yeah, they might go to some of their events and you go, wow, they're drawing a crowd. But when it comes time for voting, you know, a lot of Democrats are unhappy with this far left ideology that has taken over the Democrat Party. And, you know, Van Hollen could appear to be a candidate like Joe Biden from the perspective of and hear me out, appearing to be the most normal compared to the rest of the people on that stage.
That sounds familiar.
Yes. Remember, that really was the formula that helped them. Well, that and about 18 million ballots that got stuffed.
Well,
but,
yeah.
But it was the combination. In other words, well, first you got to win the primary, although the Democrats don't always believe in a primary, but this time they might. And you've got to win the primary. And so, yeah, you can put an AOC up there. Yeah, she's the future of the party. I think it's kind of tough putting Bernie up there.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
No matter who comes along next, I don't think it's going to be a senior statesman that's going to see a level of success.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I just think that's the way that's going to go. But AOC, she can't win a primary. I mean, no. The primary. No. Well, let me put it this way. Go ahead and vote for her.
Well, she'll do a lot like, you know, Kamala did. You put her out there on the campaign trail. And while she can speak a whole lot better, she will say some really stupid things. They'll leave you scratching your head going, what does that mean?
I mean, just think for a second. If the Democrats had been a lot more careful in who they chose to run with Biden.
And you're right. They did choose, as you mentioned.
They did. Yeah, and they took somebody who had zeros or very close to zero in those early primaries. Why would you pick somebody who's scoring so low? They at least would have to have some, like, traction. They did it because younger, and they could run her as black, and they could go, look at us, check the boxes.
That's what they
this
did.
Is like a perfect balance or whatever. This is diversity.
But not everybody votes that way.
Well, and not only that, this was a different kind of election because anybody with half a brain saw that, well, they would be impressed if Biden made it through his first 4 years.
We didn't think he would.
But never in anybody's wildest dreams, who was like a modicum of intelligence, would have believed that he was capable or would be willing to even go for a second term.
No. No.
So the vote was important, or at least the person they put on the ticket was going to be more important than the average election. Because they look to that person to take the baton and carry it. And she clearly failed that miserably.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that another Democrat could have beat Trump, but, you know, they could have found somebody who, I would think, could speak well, not cackle or giggle after every third or fourth word.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, maybe not, because as you look back, who do you think? Buttigieg? You know, he was another one on that stage. Really?
Yeah.
You think that he? No. No, he wouldn't have had a chance either. So, you know, Van Hoser really actually might have a shot at being the Democrat candidate. But there's going to be a lot of infighting in between. And if he bows down too much to kiss the far left, he's going to get kicked by the moderate left. Or they will just say, we're not Democrats anymore, which is happening more and more. All right. Department of Homeland Security, I mentioned this, and Tennessee police have released additional evidence about this guy, Abrego Garcia, that he smuggled illegal migrants into Maryland in 2022. The facts reveal that he was pulled over with eight individuals in a car on an admitted three-day journey from Texas to Maryland with no luggage. The facts speak for themselves, and they reek of human trafficking. The media's sympathetic narrative about this criminal illegal gang member has completely fallen apart. That's a statement that comes from the Assistant Secretary of Homeland Security, Tricia McLaughlin. She said, we hear far too much about gang members and criminals' false sob stories and far not enough about the victims. And, yeah, I definitely have to agree with that. Mm-hmm. That is the case. Yep. So anyway, Van Hoser
I love that you call him that. What? I'm going to forget his real name. Holland. Hey, Hoser. Yo, Hoser.
Hey, yeah. Hoser.
And he is.
It seems to fit. It really does.
It does, yes.
Again, think about Joe Biden, you know, in politics forever, shaking hands, a fake smile and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he has all the prerequisites to be the guy, even though they're the party of, you know, diversity and all that. They're going to cling to their pasty old white men.
Yep, pretty much.
Right?
But they trot the others out there as examples for you once in a while to so that they're being inclusive.
Yeah.
But then they don't do what they really want the rest of the world to do.
They can't even tell you the truth about what they want to do because most people would go, you're flipping crazy.
Yeah. And we did. That's why the election went the way it was. They actually kind of got honest about some of their views.
Palestine is a shining light in struggle for trans rights?
Excuse me?
That's what I say. Excuse me, what? Something's not right. We'll fix it together. Coming up next on The Bob Rose Show, Greg Cassidy is here. Yes, it's a Monday, and we make Mondays great on 97.3 The Sky. Good morning and welcome, and happy Monday. We're making it great. It's what we do. It is 8:49 right now, The Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here on this day in 753 B.C.
Wow, you're going back in history.
Little Old Town was founded. You might have heard of it. They call it Rome.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, on this day.
Do as the Romans do.
Romulus and his twin brother Remus, who later went to Ireland and hung out with a man named Seamus.
I think you're rewriting history. What are you, a Democrat? Okay. Come on.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I was, I had the, you know, the wonderful opportunity to visit Italy, beautiful country, and the Roman Colosseum, and to think how old it is and what a massive structure and just how advanced things were, you know, with some of the buildings and stuff. It's just hard to believe that it was so long ago.
We forget how young. As far as countries go, we're still the baby out there in the big scheme of things. I mean, we do forget, like, when we
talk
about...
Maybe that's why Biden wore diapers. Because we're just the babies compared to the rest of the world.
Well, he's not so young. But anyway, I think we do lose perspective sometimes because we've gotten in this habit of our country of tearing down, rebuilding, where a lot of these other countries, that's why you can go and there's buildings that are, you know, 700-800 years old or whatever the case may be.
In the case of Rome, which is kind of odd, they didn't rebuild. They built on top of.
Yeah.
So, like, the whole, like, civilization from back then is under today's earth, and they just continue to peel it back, pull it back, and excavate and... It's exciting, but I don't know kind of how that that just happened.
I'm going to forget the name of the series because I'm trying to think of it, but there's a great series on basically just that, where they go underground in these European countries and look at the history that is still there. That, you know, you're walking down the sidewalk in your random street and you think, okay, no big deal. There is history beneath your feet like that, and it's a really cool series. You'll have to Google it and describe it, and it'll show up.
But does it mention the aliens or space travelers?
I don't think it goes back quite that far.
I'm trying to narrow it down.
Yeah,
because you know the history
era. You know,
Captain Kirk and the History Channel, which is quite entertaining.
Well, always
some of the stuff they do. Hey, thousands of LGBTQ plus activists marched in London over the weekend. I think I told you that, and. Also told you that they damaged and defaced a couple of statues. And these were of suffragettes, women who fought for women's rights. You would think that people who fought for people's rights would kind of, I don't know, share some common ground with this group of people. Because this group of people actually doesn't have a lot in common. Anyway... They were chanting in support of both trans rights and Palestine as part of the same struggle, with one speaker hailing the Palestinian cause as the strongest shining light in a shared fight for liberation.
I got a question then.
Yes.
Was that person very good at, I don't know, let's say history?
Or what is occurring in the world today in terms of how
it's all ties
relationships
in,
that are not accepted in those cultures, how they treat people who engage in such activities?
I think they're lacking something of a little cultural investigation here. Might help them out just a little bit.
Look, people are going to agree and disagree. People are going to, have their ideology and things like that. But when you don't understand the basic concept that in that part of the world, the Palestinians are not going to accept you if you are one of the L's or the G's or the B's or the T's or the Q's.
And I think you're putting it very mildly when you say,
not
air
accept.
Quotes here, not accept.
Yes.
They're a little more forceful than that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll stone you to death.
Fall
things
off
like
building.
That. Yeah. And so you say, you people don't even understand they're not even theoretical concepts. These are concepts that you're trying to pretend don't exist. On Saturday, radical demonstrators rallied in Parliament Square in opposition to a British Supreme Court ruling that affirmed sex as biologically binary. You know, the old-fashioned, it's a boy or it's a girl.
Well, gotta have that for a long time.
That they have set about trying to complicate, but the same people want to complicate it aren't quite sure what the definition of a woman is.
Even if they're going for the Supreme Court.
But they're sure it couldn't possibly be as simple as male and female.
But they don't know the difference.
Well, and they can't define.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
I see a problem here.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Statues, as I mentioned, outside Parliament, including a monument to suffragette Millicent Fawcett, were vandalized during the protest. Saw crowds waving signs like, trans women are real women. Biology is not binary. Meanwhile, Palestinian flags, union banners, and transgender symbols were prominently displayed throughout the capital. Quote, we need to connect with the Palestine movement, the strongest shining light in this dark time that says no to hopelessness, no to cynicism, no to nihilism. They also say no to homosexuality, no to lesbianism.
Yeah.
And they say, but the Palestinian movement says yes to justice, not for gays, freedom, not for gays, liberation, not for gays. No. I mean, these people, when I say cause du jour, which I sort of jokingly added years ago, the cause of the day,
right.
I'm on a phone tree, my friends that are saving these trees need me to, chain myself to, this bulldozer over there.
Sure.
Then another group of friends says, hey, man, we're going to get on a ship for Greenpeace and stop whaling. And the cause du jour, the cause of the day.
Yep.
These two causes do not go together, but they're trying to make them go together, or they're just so completely ignorant about what it is they're, quote unquote, protesting.
But wouldn't you think at some point somebody in one of these groups would actually, Google it, something. I mean, they've all got laptops,
Somebody probably tried to do that.
Yeah.
And they were probably told to shut up. Then they were called names.
Oh.
And then they probably walked away.
Probably so.
Because there's some people today that aren't interested in a dialogue.
The truth?
Hey, we truly have a cause that everyone could get behind, and I'm going to tell you all about this cause coming up in just a couple of minutes when we have some special guests in the studio. So stick around, my friends. The 9 o'clock stretch will be a good one and is coming your way in just a couple of minutes. Don't forget, the Bob Rose Show in podcast form is available wherever you normally download your podcast. Just click on subscribe and you'll never miss a minute of the Bob Rose Show. Happy Monday, 97.3. The Sky.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.